Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our eternal Redeemer, by the presence of your Spirit, you renew and direct our hearts. Keep always in our mind the end of all things and the day of judgment. Inspire us for a holy life here, and bring us to the joy of the resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Job. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead, they were engraved on a rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, and in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes will behold, and not another. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 17 responsively. Hear a just cause, O God, and give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer, which does not come from lying lips. Let my vindication come forth in your presence, and my eyes be fixed on justice. Examine my heart and visit me by night. Melt me down, and you will find no impurity in me. I have not regard for what others do, for the words of my lips, for I do not defile. My footsteps hold fast to your well-worn path, and my feet do not slip.
I call upon you, O God, for you will answer me. Incline your ear to me, and hear my words.
Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise against them. From the wicked who assault me, from my deadly enemies who surround me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 2 Thessalonians. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by the word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one who revealed, the one who is destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God and object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you of these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you for the first fruits of salvation through sacrifice, sanctification, and by spirit through belief in truth. For this purpose he has called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us, and through the grace given us eternal comfort and good hope. Comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second. Then the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. One of the favorite parts of my week, not the most favorite, but one of the favorite parts of my week is the preschool chapel time that I have with the little 3 and 4 year olds, and also I really enjoy my minute or two at the first service when the children are part of that entrance procession and I get a chance to talk with them. Last week, I think what I like about this time with the children is that I am so consistently blown away by their enthusiasm, their desire to know, their eagerness to make connections and to learn. Last week we were talking about saints and our book of remembrance where the names of all those who have died are written down, and then the questions started. And I'll tell you what, I am scared of questions from 3 and 4 year olds. So the question started, is God going to die? I think he's really, really old. And then the next question is, my fish died and we flushed him. Will he be able to get to heaven? You know, I have a direct line from the sewer, I guess, to heaven. Well, when they start asking the questions and I don't know the answers on a 3-year-old or 4-year-old's language, I sing. And I hope that by the time we finish singing one of their favorite chapel songs that they will have forgotten their question and I'd be off the hook. But asking questions is a very important part of learning. Asking questions is a way to build a relationship, to make a connection. A couple weeks ago when we celebrated the affirmation of baptism, and this morning at the first service when we celebrated a baptism, I was struck by those rituals are filled with questions. Sponsors, what do you ask? Parents, what do you ask? All the community gathered, what do you ask? What do you profess? What do you believe? Lots of questions after questions. Well, I was prepping this four-year-old, Jack, who was baptized this morning. So last week, we were going over the service, and he had a lot of questions for me. How much water are you going to put on my head? Can I hold the candle myself? Can I wear my Superman cape instead of that white one that you're going to give me? And then I said to him, Jack, I'm going to ask you a question during the service, and I'm going to tell you the answer. So the ritual will, you'll know, you won't have to be concerned about what to say. So I'm going to say to you, Jack, do you want to be baptized? And you say, I do. And he said, well, there could be another answer. And I said, oh, really? What could that be? And he, put his hands on his hips, took this stance, and said, yes, 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 I really, really do. And the answer is all in the hips. So this morning, I said, I was kind of ready for something, and I said, Jack, do you want to be baptized? And he said, yupperoonie. Yupperoonie. The Latin root of the from the word question means to seek. It's where we get that the word quest. You're on a quest. A real question is the beginning of a journey, beginning of traveling to the truth. I've watched some of the town hall meetings and some of the press conferences that have been held by the presidential candidates and by some of our government officials. And it seems that oftentimes there are questions that are planted just to give the person who's speaking an opportunity to talk about a certain topic. Wasn't it just the FEMA people that got into trouble not too many weeks ago for having a staged press conference? Well, today's gospel story takes place in Jerusalem, and the press conference that is called by the Sadducees is staged, not by Jesus, but by his adversaries. At this point, Jesus had been preaching and teaching and healing for 3 years. So he was well known and had developed very stout-hearted, serious followers and very zealous adversaries as well. And they all had questions for him. His friends had those deep heart questions that strengthened their relationship with him. Will you heal my child? Will you help me overcome the demon that torments me? I've lost my way. Can I follow you? They call me unclean. Can you love me? Will you teach me how to pray? When Jesus is asked these sorts of questions, he doesn't use it as a staged opportunity to talk about a certain topic. He doesn't give a sound bite. The answer he gives is his very self. He invites a relationship. He invites a connection. When his enemies are asking questions, they aren't looking to know Jesus or to follow him. They're not interested in the quest. They're setting traps. They thought that if they could confuse him, make him fumble, that maybe in the eyes of his observers, he would seem as less important, be diminished in a way, maybe in a way that they would more easily be able to rid themselves of this rabble-rouser. So the Sadducees come up with a trick question. Watch him stumble over this one, because it says in the book of Moses, the Torah, those first five books of the Bible, he never says the word resurrection. So it must not be true. So they ask this question. They they put out this absurd situation about a bride with seven husbands dying one after another. And then whose wife will she be in heaven? And then they step back and watch, waiting for Jesus to start as he's trying to remember the laws of Moses and what Moses taught about property. Because you see, this question isn't about marriage. This question is about property, about what happens to a man's property, a wife, part of the property of a man, but what happens to a man's property when he dies? Who does it go to? Who owns the property when the husband or the man has died? Jesus knows that he's being set up. He's not going to get bogged down in a theological debate. The real issue, Jesus says, is not whose wife is she. The real issue is, what's your relationship to God? It's not about property. It's about relationship. Heavenly life isn't the same as earthly life. That's a mistake a lot of people make. They take life as we have it now and project it into life after death. They believe that heaven is just like this, only more better. Everyone will be healthy, wealthy, and wise, a perfect day on the beach. It's the better place that some people say when they can't think of what to say, when they're offering their sympathy, they say, well, he's in a better place. Heaven isn't just like this, only better. Jesus doesn't buy into that idea. Heaven is about relationship, our relationship with God. We are the beloved sons and daughters of God, and the kingdom life is all about our relationship, our connection with God. Well, you and I come with questions too. Questions not to trap Jesus with trick questions about heaven, but we come with deep questions that have answers that are not simple. Questions that keep us on the quest, keep us seeking and following, keep us in connection and in relationship with God. These are the questions that we live with that keep us connected to God. And we want answers for these heartfelt questions. We want to know, does God love me? Does my life make a difference? Am I living in a way that will make a difference in the world? Will there ever be peace on earth? How can I teach my children truth? The Sadducees can't ask questions like that because they think they already know the answers. People on a quest ask real questions. These are questions that are the doorway of the journey. Real questions that keep us on the journey and in a relationship, in connection with God. And this is the place where we bring those questions. This is the place where we come for encouragement and support on our journey with those questions. Yesterday, I was in my office working on my sermon, and I wave at 4,200 people. I'm not exaggerating. This was the path for the breast cancer three-day walk. And along the walk, and I think our parking lot is must be the halfway mark. This is about 11 miles into the second day, and that would be halfway because they walk 20 miles a day. And so at our corner was set up one of the encouragers stations with people, horns honking and cheerleaders, I mean literally cheerleaders with pom-poms and high fives and waving, And I was having a hard time keeping at my work because I was waving. I was waving all morning, until middle of the afternoon when they finally trickled down to the last few limpers that were on their journey. But I had this thought that isn't this what coming to church is like, where someone comes with questions and concerns and we come here and we get encouraged and supported and we get our questions not answered with a definitive, this is the way it is, but we get a place where we can ask our questions, where we can listen for the answers with other people who are also asking questions. This is where we ask our questions and seek the answers. This is where, in the shadow of the cross, in the waters of the baptism, in the bread and wine, the nourishment of Holy Communion, in the community of faith gathered together, this is where we ask our questions and find our answers. This is where we come to be encouraged, to be nourished for our quest, for our journey. This isn't a place where all of our questions are answered, but this is the place where our questions are asked. And with believers and seekers and people of hope, we can say with confidence what our lessons today have taught us. The answer in today's lesson: in God, all are alive, and I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen.